Let's turn our attention to Psalm 23 and remain standing if you're able as we read God's word. Psalm 23. I'll give you another moment to turn there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. Testing, testing. Good? Okay, thank you. I want to preach to you today from Psalm 23. It's the most famous song, one of the most famous passages in the scriptures. And I wanted to do it for a few different reasons. One of the main ones is a particular circumstance that is occasioning this psalm. Many of you know that Donna, Wendy's mother, and also Ginny, Bryce's mother, both of these ladies have been on hospice for some time, and they're declining in their health quite a bit. Donna in particular has taken quite a turn for the worse, she is likely to pass soon. And over the last several months, I've had the opportunity pretty much every week to sit with Donna and Ginny as well recently and read Psalm 23 over and over and over and over again. One reason I've done that is because Donna, as you know, is suffering with dementia, and not always sure how the mind works in moments like this. I wanted to pick something comforting and something familiar with prayers that the Lord would use his word and this psalm to bring hope to her some stickiness to his word in her mind and in her heart. And so now, as she comes to the end of the days that God has given to her, and as we all think about our own time and brevity in this world, it's a good psalm to think about. It's a good word to rest in. And so I want to invite you to do that with me today, even as we also pray for the Morthlands and grieve along with them in this difficult time. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Psalm 23 is a song, a prayer from one of those sheep. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, David pours his heart out to his shepherd, and he gives us a sense of what it means to follow Christ. Or to put it another way, what it means to be led by Christ, what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd. Now, David was a very remarkable sheep, right? One of the most remarkable of God's creatures in all of history. His life was full of drama, ups and downs and ups and downs and very low downs and very high ups. There was singing and dancing and war and betrayal and deep friendship. There were times when David was on the run, seeking asylum, homeless, pursued by enemies wanting to kill him. And there were times when he sat on the throne with servants all around him waiting to serve him. Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72 speaks about David as a shepherd. The word says, "He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand." So though David was a shepherd over flocks of actual sheep, God made him a shepherd king over Israel. But over in all of those events, in all of that time, David was always a sheep himself. He was always one who was being led by the Lord. And in this psalm, we hear of that heart. We hear of those truths expressed by the Lord's servant. David knew that his life was not led by random chance. It was not led by this or that circumstance or by the will of men, whether that was Saul or anyone else. He was not led by the will of pagan gods or even the result of his own effort. He knew that he was being led in both the ups and downs, on the mountaintops and in the valleys, by his shepherd king, by Yahweh, by God himself. And it's from this perspective that he prays this song, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God helps us to hear the heart of him, of God himself, and also the heart of those who follow him. So what does it mean to be led by the Lord through the various circumstances of life? The psalm begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then, "I shall not want." Now what he means is that he knows he's not going to lack anything. Nothing is missing. This is a very good place to be in. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave or forsake you." Be content with everything you have because God has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." This is, of course, what Jesus said before his ascension when he spoke and gave us that great commission to go and preach to the nations the good news of the word, discipling them, building them up in all the things that the Lord had spoken, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. "I will be with you always," he says, "even to the end of the age." And because the Lord is with us, we are called to be content. Jeremiah Burroughs, a Puritan, defined contentment this way: "Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition." Contentment is a trust. Contentment flows from faith. We can be content because we know we have everything we need, and we know we have everything we need because we have Him who's providing for us. I am a father, an earthly father, and I do my best to provide for my children, but as you all know, it's not perfect, right? We all struggle to provide for the people that we are called to provide for, to be there in the ways that we are called to be there, to take care of them as we ought. And whether you're a father or a mother or an employer or a friend or any relationship you have in life, You all know about the limitations that we have, the struggles that we have. God does not struggle. God does not go to sleep at night and just say, I can't give anymore, I've got to go to bed. That never happens to him. He never needs to go to bed. He never needs to eat. He never needs to go make more money. He never needs to take a break. He never needs to cool down after being too angry. He never needs to go and say sorry for things that he shouldn't have done. God, as our perfect and heavenly Father, does all things perfectly. And so as his children, we can be happy. We can rest. We can know that as he leads us, we are going to be okay. We often struggle with contentment when we forget that. When we think that we're only going to be okay when we get this thing or get that thing. I need this degree. I need this job. If I can get this job, then I'll be okay. If I can change my spouse, then I'll be okay. If you're a kid and you're thinking, if only my dad would be this or that thing, if only my mom would be this or that thing, then I'll be okay. We're always looking in places and things to think that if our circumstances were just different, then we'd be okay. If we can get what we want, all right. If not, then we're not going to be okay. But that doesn't bring contentment, because those things can never provide for us what only God can provide. Instead, those things lead us to anxiety and fear and worry. Our chests tighten, our fists clench. We pace, we wander, we argue, we fight, we say, this is how things shouldn't be, and I want it to be different so bad. We get frustrated, and we don't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the heart of someone who is trusting in the Lord. Contentment is found in not obtaining a new set of circumstances, in changing the people around us, or the culture around us, or the government around us, or whatever it is we're looking at. Contentment is only found by resting in the Lord, because it's only Him that can provide for us everything that we need, and who is supreme enough, who is omnipotent enough to direct all the circumstances of our lives towards our good. Only He can do that. And so we must rest in Him. When the Lord is your shepherd, and when your heart submits to that, you become a person who says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. All this reminds us that some of us have some repenting to do. And if that's so, then I would invite you to do that with me by looking to the Lord as our shepherd and seeing where He will take us in His love. And where does He take us? The psalm goes on. He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. These verses remind us that God puts us into places of safety, places of provision for both body and soul. He fills us up, He restores us, He takes us from a position of frustration, and perhaps even in ourselves and in our own sin, and He gives us what we need. He leads us in good paths, paths of righteousness. The world will often say, I can tell you what you need, it's this, right? You need this thing, and the way to get it is rarely a path of righteousness. It's this shortcut, it's this other thing, it's grabbing, it's striking, it's grasping for things. But the Lord takes us in paths of righteousness, and even better than that, He takes us in a path of righteousness that Christ Himself provides for us. He doesn't just point to the green pastures and say, All you have to do is walk perfectly on that line, on that path, and you'll get there. That, of course, is true, but we're all a bunch of wanderers, right? We wander off into the cactus over here, and we wander off the cliffs over there, and there's dangers all around. We're foolish in many ways. So what does he do? He leads us in paths of righteousness by picking us up and carrying us to on that path of righteousness to those green pastures. He takes us in Christ himself. He comes into this world and lives this perfect life, fulfilling all of the demands of the law, so that we can come into that place of rest, into that heavenly place of rest, the green pastures and these holy waters, and know that we belong there and we came there the right way. Jesus says, not only is he the shepherd, he also describes himself as the gate, right? The way into the sheepfold, right? We come into this place through him. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so this is God's work from us. This is for us. This is how we come to have peace. Lots of people in this world, they try to take shortcuts. They try to establish these things in their own righteousness, and they will not have peace. But when we give ourselves over to the Lord, when we trust in the work that he has done on our behalf, then we can find ourselves in places of safety and provision, because the Lord himself has brought us there. Now, some people doubt these promises. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. Right? How do those things connect? Isn't the valley of the shadow of death very different than a place of green pastures? Very different than a place of still waters? And yes, those are two very different images. But what this psalm teaches us is that no matter what the circumstances of our lives are, this is where God is leading us. In both the hard times, and we would say even through the hard times, this is where God is leading us. This phrase, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is probably one of the most striking phrases that has ever been written in the whole history of the world. The valley of the shadow of death. A place that we all have experienced to some degree. A place of darkness, a place of loneliness, a place that feels like impending doom. Perhaps you, at some point in your life, have been close to death. Perhaps the death of your body. Perhaps you have felt the end nearing. Or perhaps fear and anxiety were so strong on you that you felt as if all was lost. Perhaps you've been in a place of depression so dark, so deep that you thought you would never come out of it. That there was no hope, that there was no end. You know, David was not naive about these things himself. If you simply look back at Psalm 22, just the psalm before this psalm, listen to some of the things he says, things that our Lord and Savior took upon his own lips. It starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I do not find rest. This sounds like a man who has faced the valley of the shadow of death. A man who has felt his bones dried up, his life sucked out of him, people surrounding him, his enemies attacking him, feeling like all was lost. And he describes that more in Psalm 22. But in all of it, he knows that it is the Lord who leads him. It's not as though the valley of the shadow of death isn't the valley of the shadow of death. It is that. It is suffering. It is horror. It is fear and all of these things. Those are all real. But the Lord is there in the midst of them. And that's why he says, with this great encouragement and confidence, that we too can say when the Lord leads us, I will fear no evil. I'm moving forward. I'm not going to give up. Because it's not me who's in this alone. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This image is expanded on, or the idea is expanded on, as David moves to verse 5 now. He expands this idea by changing the image slightly. Now we have this image of success and prosperity. He's led through the valley of the shadow of death. And now here he is at a table in the presence of his enemies. This is, right, like ultimate victory. Right? It's one thing to gather around a table with your friends and your family and everything's safe and that sort of thing. Can you imagine sitting down at a table, being anointed as a king in the presence of your enemies, and there isn't anything they can do about it? There's a kind of mocking that is going on here, I think, in this image. A kind of God speaking to his enemies and saying, what you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it, death? What are you gonna do about it, sickness? What are you gonna do about it, Satan? We're eating. We're celebrating. We're going to rejoice. We're gonna sit down and not worry about you. Sure, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, but we're not afraid. In fact, let's have a meal. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, right? This is a feast of abundance. And then he concludes with verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's almost as if, as David is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, as enemies are surrounding him, as all these terrible things are happening, because the Lord is leading him, there are these just, it's like he can't get away from goodness and mercy. They just keep following him. They stay with him. They're like these walking partners on this hike, on this dangerous, treacherous journey he's on. There's goodness, there's mercy, and there's the Lord. He's protected, he's provided for, he's going to these places of safety and provision, and he just relaxes at the end and he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's contentment isn't tied to his circumstances, is it? He's not saying, well, when I get to heaven, then I'll be content. He's saying right here, right now, in the presence of my enemies, while they're here, while they're surrounding me, while I'm feeling this impending doom, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be at rest, and I'm going to be comforted because you, O Lord, are with me. And we know that the Lord is with us, I think even better than David knew, and at least intellectually, which is a good starting place. Perhaps we can get it even more in our hearts by God's grace. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. We know something David didn't quite know at this point. That when we say, and when he says, the Lord would be with us, what comes into our minds is the Son of God becoming incarnate, taking on our flesh and blood to die on a cross, to face the greatest enemies that mankind faces, the wrath of God, the devil himself, the sin that enslaves us, and to turn aside God's wrath, to put the devil to open shame, and to forgive all of our sins. Jesus walked through the valley of the shadow of death in human flesh, carrying us through by a virtue of his promises and the covenants that were made. Jesus, our chief shepherd, went before us. This path that we're on, it's not one that we're trying to figure out. It's not one that we're blazing. It's not one we're trying to build as we go. It's already done. It's already provided for us. Jesus has already died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, where he is now preparing a place for us. For everyone who puts their faith in him. Jesus faced the darkness of the cross, the betrayal, the evil that lurked all around him. And he came out victorious because of his righteousness. And so whether you are on death's door, as we say, whether you are finding yourself close to the end of your life, or whether it is a spiritual darkness or something else that is threatening to swallow you, know that Jesus can lead you through and has already gone through himself. That he can guide you through the darkest places because he knows the way and because he promises to take you and finish that race. He knows the path of righteousness because he is righteousness himself. And so, beloved, cling to him. Follow him. Don't let the silly things of this world be your shepherd. Don't let your sinful heart be your shepherd. Don't let your circumstances be your shepherd or your emotions or whatever. Let the Lord be your shepherd. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Hear his voice. Follow him, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So cling to him and find your safety and your rest in him. Let's pray.